I hope my mic, oh, yep, it is. It's very loud. I dropped it earlier, so I wasn't sure. Well, I want to thank Ron for calling me last night at 8:30. I'll come by the house later, Ron, to thank you for that. And I immediately went to my office and said, oh, I've got messages on my thumb drive, and I'll be able to pull those up, and I'll be able to put something together. So I went through and got in my desk, and I just remodeled my office, so things were a little bit still out of sorts. And so I started plugging in thumb drives to my computer, and a panic started to set in pretty quickly. But then I remembered that I had emailed Diane a message that I had, and I typically did that because my printer doesn't reach hers, and so... So I went onto her computer and I did a search real quick, and I found a message, thank goodness, that I had done in 2019, and it was around Mother's Day. So I looked at that and I said, you know what? It's God's in control of all things, because any other message I would have found may not have been what He wanted me to preach. And so this is what He has brought to us today. And like I said, it was a message that I had preached in 2019, and the title of it is The Excellent Wife and Mother. So let's go to the Lord in prayer here. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You again for the blessings You give us, and for always putting things in the right order in our lives, and putting things right order in Your church. And we just thank You that we can always depend on You for Your perfect will to be done. And again, I just lift up those that are teaching our children in the children's church. And we do lift up Ron to You and pray that he gets well soon. And that You would just, again, just be with all of those within our church that aren't with us today, who are not feeling well, that You would continue to strengthen them and heal them, Father. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It got really hot up here really quick, but I know the air conditioning is on. So so today's message is based in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 30. So if you want to turn to that, I'll get to that in just a little bit here. But I thought I'd go through some quotes that some famous people had said about their mother. Abraham Lincoln had this quote about his mother. He said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." George Washington said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw, and I am all I am. I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." Ronald Reagan said, "My mother told me that everything in life happened for a purpose. She said all things were part of God's plan, even the most disheartening setbacks, and in the end, everything worked out for the best." John Wesley said, "I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England." And Spurgeon said, "I cannot tell you how much I owe to the solemn word of my good mother." And then John MacArthur has a quote, and he says, "To be a mother is by no means second class. Men may have the authority in the home, but the woman has the influence. The mother, more than the father, is the one who molds and shapes those little lives from day one." And just to keep things in a little perspective here, MacArthur also said, "Contrary to popular opinion, the most important characteristic of a godly mother is not her relationship with her children. It is her love for her husband. The love between husband and wife is the real key to a thriving family. A healthy home environment cannot be built exclusively on the parents, on the parents' love for their children. The properly situated family has marriage at the center, and families shouldn't revolve around their children." So let's turn to Proverbs chapter 31, and we'll read verses 10 through 30. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with her willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. In 1928, Pastor W.L. Caldwell preached a message to the congregation, and this is what he said. Well, may we pause to pay honor to her who, after Jesus Christ, is God's best gift to men, Mother. It was she who shared her life with us when we were yet, our members were yet not yet formed, unformed, until into the valley of the shadow of death she walked that we might have the light of life. In her arms was the garner of our food and the soft couch of our repose. There we nestled in the hour of pain. There was the playground of our infant glee. Those same arms later become our refuge and stronghold. It was she who taught our baby feet to go and lifted us up over the rough places. Her blessed hands plied the needle by day and by the night to make our infant clothes. She put the book under our arms and started us off to school. But best of all, she taught our baby lips to lisp the name of Jesus and told us first the wondrous story of the Savior's love. The pride of America is its mothers. There are wicked mothers like Jezebel of old. There are unnatured mothers who sell their children into sin. There are sin-cursed, rum-soaked, and abandoned mothers to whom their motherhood is the exposure of their shame. But I am glad to believe that there is comparatively few in this class. And that was from W.L. Caldwell from 1928. So moms, please understand this. No nation is ever greater than its mothers, for they are the makers of its men. Where would we be without our godly mothers? Our godly mother is discerning. In Proverbs 15, verse 14, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A good Christian mother stays intimately connected with God so that she will keep a discerning heart. She's willing to grow in knowledge through the reading of God's word and absorbing truth from mature, godly mothers. God grants his discernment in the lives of her children so that they may be specifically well-trained in righteousness. In Luke 18:1, a godly mother is persistent in prayer. In Luke 18:1, he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. A believing mom never gives up on her children, but will write off A believing mom never gives up on her children. People will write off a difficult, rebellious child, but not a praying mother. She will plead that the grace and mercy of God over their lives as long as there's breath in her body. This mother is compelled and encouraged by the Holy Spirit to keep praying no matter what. A godly mother has unconditional love. In 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. A mother who loves God with all her heart isn't afraid to unconditionally love her children. She recognizes that her patience will be tried by disobedience, but it will never cause her love to regress in anger. Her love spurs confidence in her offspring since they never worry about loss of love due to bad behavior. A godly mother is joyful. Psalms chapter 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Those who enter into the home of a godly mother sense the presence of joy. Her deep-rooted joy sustains her through the difficulties of living in an ungodly world. She has mastered the ability to encourage her children towards joy in every situation. A godly mother relies on God's word. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. The Christian mother relies on the word of God for every problem in the home. She meditates on the scripture, as well as speaking and teaching them to her children. Her family witnesses her diligence and learns from her example to apply God's teachings to their everyday lives. A godly mother willingly forgives the offenses of others. John chapter 20, verse 23. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. The godly mother won't hold forgiveness hostage until she feels better. Rather, she chooses to forgive immediately and trust the Holy Spirit to heal her hurts. Her family recognizes this principle in her and practices forgiving others as a way of life. A godly mother is contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. A godly mother resists the urge to be discontented with her surroundings, children, or her husband. She recognizes that the chasing worldliness and riches will never bring her peace. Instead, she trusts in the Lord to provide all her needs and grants her desires according to his will. A godly mother trusts in God. Psalms 9, verse 10. And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Her trust in God is most evident during the difficult seasons of her life. The Christian mother is tempted, like other believers, to doubt the Lord's hand over her life. Yet she remains steadfast in his ability to take care of her and her family's needs. She establishes a trust relationship with God that grows every day. A godly mother is faithful. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Her faith will be tested in her roles as wife and mother. A godly mother will exempt this trying of her faith so she can grow in perseverance. She demonstrates her faithfulness as she continues to mature in her relationship with God and others. A godly mother brings order to chaos. Proverbs 31, 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. The Christian mother is marked for her diligence and resistance to being lazy. Her concern isn't a perfect home, but rather a healthy home, full of love, laughter, and order. She keeps her home free, not only from physical clutter, but watches for the spiritual and emotional clutter of the world. A godly mother holds to what is right. Matthew 13, 43. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. As a godly mother, she makes the tough decisions that run against the torrent of societal corruption, of children and youth. She sticks to what is right in the eyes of God for her children's spiritual, emotional, and physical well-being. A Christian mother expects resistance and refuses to compromise righteousness for acceptance. A godly mother is willing to release her children to God. Romans 5:5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. While the Christian mother holds her children tightly around her heart, she releases them to grow in Christ at their own pace. She's entrusted her prayers to God to protect and lead them in the direction of His will. Her influence and persuasion centers around the Lord's will more than her personal preference for their future. There is no such thing as a perfect mother. But the Christian mother continues to be perfected by the grace of God. She is invaluable to the kingdom of Christ due to her influence on the next generation. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, every godly mother is a blessing to her children and her children's children. This phrase, his mother's name was, is found 23 times in Scripture. And in 22 of them, the verse also says, and he did that was evil in the sight of the Lord, and he did what that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? The Scripture tells us who the mother was, and then it tells us that they either did evil or good in the sight of the Lord. Those verses are trying to emphasize the influence of the mother. Now, I'm not saying that how children turn out is totally dependent upon the mother. Some good mothers raise bad children, and some bad mothers raise good children. But I want you to see is that the mother has a tremendous influence on her children. 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17. And how from childhood have you been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus? All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Paul says that Timothy knew the Scriptures from childhood. Who taught him those Scriptures? In 2 Timothy 1:5, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure who dwells in you as well. Paul says here that the sincere faith that dwelt in Timothy was first in his grandmother and his mother. I don't think there's any doubt that Timothy was taught Christian faith by his mother. How could a mother not influence her children with all the time that is they have spent with them? Mothers, your godly influence is great. You give birth to the men and women that fight our wars and protect our nation, town, and cities. You give birth to the men and women that bind our wounds and heal the sick. You give birth to the men and women that enter the mission field, to save the lost. You give birth to the men that enter seminary to preach the word. You give birth to the men and women that educate our children. You give birth to the men and women that lead this country in commerce and government. You give birth to the men and women that grow our food. You give birth to the men and women that defend and uphold the laws of the land. You give birth to the men and women that hopefully will share the gospel with their children. We see an amazing woman in Proverbs 31. The most important quality of a woman is that she is godly. So let's read Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 one more time. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands to the spindle. She opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates who sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teachings of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. First, we see in this passage the description of the woman is one that is carefully composed. Second, the woman described is to be a model that is to be imitated. She is a woman of godly character. And is this both men and women should seek to follow her example. But beyond this, she is a woman of great ability. She has value. Proverbs 31:10. She is described as an excellent wife. Her quality is rare and very valuable. In Proverbs 31, verse 11, she can be trusted. The first thing about a virtuous woman is that she is faithful and a supportive wife to her husband. The heart of her husband trusts her. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She knows that a stable and loving marriage is basic to success and happiness in all other areas. She knows that marriage fulfills her as a person and that the first essential of motherhood is to create for the children the environment of a loyal and loving home. Verse 12, she is supportive. Rather than being a deterrent to her husband, she is his helper, bringing him nothing but good. She supports her husband. A man who has married a godly woman has a wife who will bring honor to him. She is truly a helper to her husband. An ungodly wife humiliates and embarrasses her husband. She is not a helper, but a hindrance to her mate. In verse 9, it is better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome woman. A quarrelsome wife, sorry. She is productive. Proverbs 31, verses 13 and 14. Repeatedly, she is described in terms of her diligence and strength. She works with her hands. She goes a long way to get food and deal. She goes a long way to get a good deal on wool and flax. And according to verse 19, when she gets it, she puts it on the spindle and the distaff and makes thread. And with the thread, she begins to make garments. She's a seamstress. She sacrifices. Verse 15, she cares more about her family than her own comfort. Her primary concern is to live for her family. In verses 16 and 19, she is a woman of enterprise. Some women seem to think that the world of the wife is exceedingly small, restricted largely to dirty dishes and diapers. Is their ministry confined only to doing housework? No. Is their world defined by the walls of their home? No. She is a purchasing agent for her family. We all know how much a family consumes and what it takes to do the shopping and provide the groceries and do all of that. The ideal wife contributes to the family by purchasing the necessities of the family. She looks for the highest quality at the lowest price. Husbands, you can all look up now, husbands. Verse 23 instructs the husband to give his wife the praise she deserves. Her works are to be praised at the gates. It is there in the gates of the city in public that the godly husband should praise his wife. She was kind. In Proverbs 31, 25 through 27. In verse 26, that the teaching of this woman is called the teaching of kindness. She instructs in a gentle way, and that her teaching is encouraging and edifying. A godly woman is a woman of wisdom, a woman who fears God and who manifests godliness. And in Proverbs 27 and 28, we see her reward. This is her reward. She is blessed by her husband and children. She's godly, as we see in verse 30. This woman is praised not for her charm or her beauty, but for her fear of God. Mothers, you are an influence. It is so important for your children's sake that you be a godly one. Moms and dads, let us continually seek to establish the qualities of the godly woman as the goal toward which our girls should strive. And let us teach our sons that this is the kind of woman who makes married life such a blessing. Mothers, you are an influence in the lives of your children. The questions are you being a godly one? Nobody influences society more than its mothers. Moms, remember the words of Pastor Caldwell. The nation is ever greater. No nation is ever greater than its mothers, for they are the makers of its men. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I just thank you for giving me this opportunity this morning to bring this message about godly mothers and how they are such an influence on the lives of their children. And how they have set the foundation for their lives. And how they have made it such a blessing for our fathers. and completing that family unit and keeping that family unit in balance. Father, we are so thankful that we have so many women here today, so many moms here today, so many grandmothers here today that strive to set that example every day. And we know that none of us are perfect. And at times we fail. But it should be our goal that we strive as husbands to allow our wives to teach our children and to be that example to our children that we can have peaceful and tranquil lives, Father. Thank you again for the blessings you give us. I thank you so much for the godly women, mother, grandmothers that have been in my life that I've been exposed to in this church. I thank you for that. And I ask that you would just continue to put your blessings upon them. I ask these things in Jesus' name.